Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach in your hearing, how to hope. Not how to have hope, but how to hope. Lessons from the Israelites and their messianic expectation, part 16. Today, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12, to a passage that ought to be familiar to most Christians and even people who are not believers have heard of it. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And allow me just to say here as an observation, many people question whether or not saints ought to have a service in their homes. And the service that the communion service that we have today is based on the Passover. Notice that they did this in their homes, and many Jews, of course, do it in their homes today. You can have church in your home, and you should. The early church was birthed in the home, not in a coliseum. So the home is important. And by the way, what's wrong with our country today, what's wrong with this world today, is we have forsaken the idea of worship in the home. Church, you ought to have church at home first and then have church together with others on Sunday as a point of celebration. Every day, you ought to have church every day. Anyway, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Of course, you notice this putting of the blood on the two side posts and on the upper door post makes the cross. Jesus is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, and he died on a cross for the sins of the world, as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And that's what all of that is based on, and this is why we cannot unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, just everything, roast it all. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Only God could do something like this and make up something like this. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the little g-gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, and when I see the blood, didn't matter who was in the house, and when I see the blood, God said, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Holy Father, God in heaven, this is absolutely amazing as we read it again. And Lord, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for making sure that it was passed down to us through writing. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you most of all for your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which your holy word points to, who your holy word points to. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years, that come from your mercy, your love, and your grace, that come through your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ coming the first time, and we thank you by faith for him coming the second time. Help us to learn from our Jewish friends how to wait and how to hope in the blessed hope, and to keep hope alive. For so many today, Lord, as you know, are falling away, as you predicted. A rather well-known Christian just this morning, or yesterday, I believe, announced that he is not a Christian anymore, that he's turning his back on the plain teaching of your holy word. And so many others are losing hope, and so many are throwing in the towel and quitting. Some are even committing suicide, for they have not learned to hope and to keep the blessed hope alive. They have taken their eyes off the prize of the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. But we're not shocked, we're not surprised, because your holy word told us that they would do that. Many will depart from the faith, you told us. So, Lord, have it to be so, however, that we don't depart from the faith, that we don't quit, that we don't throw in the towel. We never make an announcement on Instagram that we are not Christians anymore. And so, Holy Father God, as Christians, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. And where we have failed you in any way, for Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon us. And forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive others. But Lord, help us never to quit. Help us to never lose hope in the blessed hope. Help us to keep our eyes on the prize that the Lord Jesus Christ, who came before, as predicted, is going to come again. So Lord, help us to keep, by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, your blessed hope alive in our hearts, and help us to grow even stronger in you and not weaker. And we pray that you would cast out the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from this place. Cast out the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas and betrayal and sabotage and the spirit of turning their back on you. Drive that spirit from the hearts, minds, souls, and spirits of people today, here and out there. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to stay on the battlefield for you, to be the shining lights and witnesses that you want us to be. For you have brought us from a mighty long way, and you have brought us by faith, and we should not even think about turning around now. We pray still, Lord, for over 3 million souls to hear the gospel through this ministry and to be saved. 3 million Christians to be revived all around the globe. If that has not already happened, Lord, we pray that you would cause that to happen. We thank you for those who have been saved, and we pray for more today. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. How to hope, lessons from the Israelites and their messianic expectation, part 16. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. J.C. Ryle said, "Depend upon it, the cross of Christ, the death of Christ on the cross to make atonement for sinners, is the center truth in the whole Bible. This is the truth we begin with when we open Genesis. The seed of the woman bruising the serpent's head is nothing else but a prophecy of Christ crucified for sinners, was buried, and rose again by the power of God on the third day. This is the truth that shines out though veiled all through the law of Moses and throughout the Old Testament and the history of the Jews. The daily sacrifice, the Passover lamb, the continual shedding of blood in the tabernacle and the temple. All these were emblems, symbols of Christ crucified. This is the truth that we see honored in the vision of heaven. Before we close the book of Revelation, even in the midst of heavenly glory, we catch a view of Christ and Him crucified. Ladies and gentlemen, in our last message, we looked at the hope of the Messiah contained in Jacob's pronouncement of blessing on his sons. Judah is heralded as a praiseworthy descendant who will triumph over Israel's enemies. And be celebrated by the descendants of his brothers. He is described as a lion conquering his prey, and as an old lion resting in peace. The scepter, a symbol of authority, is prophesied to remain in Judah's lineage, and out of Judah's family a ruler will come who will gather all people to himself and mark the beginning of an age of peace and prosperity on earth. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah and his brothers had no way of knowing who this particular ruler would be, but we know that this ruler is none other than Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. One of the roles of the Messiah, as understood by the ancient Hebrews, was that of a deliverer. The Israelites needed deliverance often throughout their history, and their enduring hope for the Messiah today was that he would deliver them from their enemies once and for all. The promise and hope of their future deliverance is rooted in the first national deliverance of the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. We know, or at least many of us know, the story of the Passover quite well. It is fundamental, it is foundational, yet absolutely fantastic. One of those things in life that if you don't know about, you cannot consider yourself an educated person. The Lord could have delivered Israel out of Egypt by any means, but before doing so, he instituted the Passover and instructed his people to observe it on the night of their escape. Regarding this passage, the Bible Knowledge Commentary points out, in these verses, instructions are given on how to observe the Passover. though the feast was observed in each Israelite home, their united and simultaneous worship would help weld them together as a single community. And by the way, it has lasted to this day. The slaying of the animals instead of the Israelites' firstborn sons and the sprinkling of blood prefigured the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross. How to hope. How to keep hope alive, the blessed hope alive. He is our Passover lamb, a lamb without blemish or defect. His own sacrifice is the means whereby individual believers escape the horrors of spiritual death in hell. And with that observation, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand the significance of the Passover? The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When God saw the blood on the posts, it didn't matter who was inside the house, he passed over them. And the death angel killed the firstborn of the Egyptians. Well, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said very clearly, who has come to take away the sin of the world, your sins and mine. And that's exactly what he did. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, falsely accused because he never committed any sins, suffered, bled, and died on a cruel cross for the sins of the world, was buried, and then rose again on the third day. Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? Because the blood that he shed on that cross was shed so that you would escape hell. And not only you, but your spouse and your children too. Your grandchildren as well. Everybody. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know what the Passover means for you? It means that if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, when the day of wrath comes, when folks are being cast into hell, God will pass over you. Because the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, suffered, bled and died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. In order for you to understand this better, first accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. You have broken the Ten Commandments of God, and so have I. Have you ever told a lie before? Well, you have broken the Ten Commandments of God. Have you ever lusted after somebody or something, coveted, desired what other people had? Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever dishonored or disrespected, disobeyed your parents? Then you're guilty. And all it takes is just committing one of those things that cause you to break the whole law. It shows you up as a sinner. Now you must understand there's no mercy in the law. There's no grace in the law, even to this day. when a police officer pulls you over, he may know you. You may go to church together. You may eat lunch together. He may like you, but under the law, he's got to deal with the evil that you have done. There's no mercy. There's no friendship in the law. There's no grace in the law. But now Jesus Christ, being the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world, God, this is the day of grace. God is showing forth grace to us, mercy and love towards us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know him? You must understand that, ladies and gentlemen, we're all sinners. We all have broken God's law, his Ten Commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, we must accept the fact that there is a punishment for sin always. There's a punishment for every crime known to mankind. Certainly with God, there's a punishment. The Bible says today in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You are moving very fast towards your death. And the sad thing about death, too, is that you don't know when you're going to die. There's no set day. You might be driving down a beautiful, on a beautiful Saturday with a beautiful sky, just with your hair in the wind, and you got it going on, listening to some music. And as it happened last week, somebody can jump the from the other lane into your lane and hit you head on, and you'll be dead. This happens across this country every day. Death is real, and death is sad. There's nothing good about death, because the reason for death is sin. The wages of sin is death. Our bodies are going to be put in a grave. That's a sad thing, my dear friend. I assure you, most people have never gotten over seeing a loved one dropped into the ground. They were just eating barbecue with us last Saturday, but now they're going into the ground. That is a shocker to the soul. Most folks have never overcome that. So the wages of sin is death. But what about after death? What is the punishment? Well, it is a place called hell. A place that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, preached more on than anybody in the Bible, to warn us of that awful place. Sadly, most preachers today don't preach on it like Jesus did. In fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers do today. Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven, because he understood that most people are motivated negatively than they are in a positive way. Positively. one of the reasons why you don't speed is because you don't want to get a ticket. You don't want to get pulled over because you fear paying that $250 ticket. And Jesus understood that better than we do. And so he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he doesn't want us to go to hell. And hell is a very real place. Here are some people who will go there. According to the word of God in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful, people too afraid of what other people might think of them trusting Christ as Savior, family members, friends, co-workers, and unbelieving, the so-called atheists and agnostics, will go to hell. They will go to the lake of fire. And the abominable, these are people who sin beyond the pale. These people sin in such a way that even hardened criminals don't even want them around them in jail. These are the child molesters, old men raping girls and boys, priests and preachers who rape girls and boys in the church. These are the homosexuals trying to turn God's world upside down. Men and women. Men with men. Men and women with women. These are people who are trying to have sex with robots and with animals. That's sinning beyond the pale. That's gone flat out crazy sinning. There's no other place in the universe for people who do that. And not only the abominable, but murderers, people who kill others, are going to hell or the lake of fire. Whoremongers, heterosexuals who have sex with anybody they can. Whoremongers and whores, prostitutes, adulterers, adulteresses, fornicators, people who have sex with people that they're not married to, they're going to that awful place called hell. You're not going to hear this in most pulpits today. But these are they who will not be in heaven, but will be in hell. Whoremongers and sorcerers, people who practice voodoo and witchcraft, and who live by the horoscope, read palms, look into crystal balls, do seances, try to bring up the dead, and even those who watch pornography religiously. And idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you want to hear some more about the Passover now? Do you want to be passed over when the day of wrath comes? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. If you trust Christ as your Savior today, you will be passed over from the wrath of God. The wrath is going to come, but you'll be passed over. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and thou you shalt be saved. Hell is bad news. The lake of fire is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Your sin debt has been paid by none other than Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world willingly. Willingly he did it. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, believeth in him should not perish. Perish where? Perish in hell. But have everlasting life. Where? In heaven with God, with Jesus, with the holy angels, and with the saints. So just believe in your heart, dear friend, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, dear friend, I hope you understand the Passover a little bit better. And I pray and hope that you will trust Christ as your Savior today. If you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm willing to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer right now. Just follow me in prayer, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save you. Follow me in prayer, repeat after me phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents before. And I have taken your holy name in vain before, with many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, as the Passover Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, in your name I pray. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.